prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
Good morning. It is Truth Revolution, faith and reason coexisting together. Say it isn't so.
It is so.
It can happen.
Yes, this is where faith and reason meet.
Mm-hmm. I'm Dave. With me is Pastor Jeff of Revolution Church.
We love science. We love our Bibles. We love knowledge. We love archaeology. We love math. We love faith. We love God.
Right. Nobody wants to be called stupid, right? I mean, why would you just totally take one side of this equation and throw it aside? You know what I'm saying?
The spiritual side or the logical side?
Or the logical side. I mean, you know, God gave you a brain, and I think he intends for us to use it.
Absolutely. And it's a very unfair characteristic to make when a non-Christian or a skeptic implies that Christians are dumb, that they're not thinking. Because to be real honest, I can go out there and, like, kind of like we talked about last week, if we want to make a Christian look stupid, we can find a Christian who's not very wise or doesn't know the information very well and put them on CNN and they look like idiots.
Yes.
We could do the same thing with atheists. There's plenty of atheists out there who talk out the side of their mouth that don't know what they're talking about as well.
I totally agree.
What we want to do is find the truth. Right. Let's not have this talking head thing. Let's not have this debate between people who don't know what they're talking about. Let's have real discussion here. And that's why we invite your questions.
Right. One thing that I think you'll totally agree with me when I say this is that, because we've discussed this before, so I know you think the way I do, that God is...
I always think the way you do. Just kidding.
God is truth. And if you are out there seeking for the truth, I mean, earnestly seeking for the truth, then that's the truth that you're eventually going to find. And we totally believe that.
Right. We don't fear questions because we believe that if you ask questions you're honestly seeking the truth, you're going to find God.
That's right.
So we're not worried about questions at all. We love questions. We love challenges. We love thinking.
I used to be afraid of questions because questions always...
You was.
I am serious. I was. And because questions always... put that little doubt in my mind.
I think a lot of times as Christians we're taught, like, just don't question it because, you know, you might find out God's not real, and that's scary. We don't want that.
Who wants to live a life like that, though?
But no. Yeah, we want to know the reality. Mm-hmm. Look, if God's not real, then tell me.
Yeah,
like,
I
let me
know
find
it.
Out.
Right.
But if God's real, that changes everything. I want to know that too.
Right.
And so we want to know the truth, and that's what we're seeking today. Today, we're talking about a couple of things. We're going to answer a couple of people's questions. Mm-hmm. We're going to answer a Bible contradiction. And we are going to continue talking about the problem of evil that we talked about last week.
It has become quite the problem.
And what is God's response to the problem of evil? Uh-huh. Last week we talked about tornadoes and hurricanes. Why do those exist?
I have some theories about God's response to evil.
Okay, well, maybe we'll get to them today.
Okay.
And
he says smirkingly.
Yeah, maybe we'll get to your ideas.
We've got time for Dave.
But we're gonna try to get into that and see what God has to say about that. See how God responds to it. Last week we were really logical about it. This week we're gonna go a little more emotional. Like, does God care? Like, how do we know? What does God do when we're going through this stuff?
Right. So, and why would a being that is so omnipotent and huge, why would he care about us?
Right. But, very first, we're going to answer a question, and we're going to do a listener's question later in the show as well.
Yeah.
One of the things we love to do, and I think we're going to start doing this more often. We haven't always put listeners' questions in the show. I think we need to start doing that more often.
We got a couple of them here that are actually pretty deep.
Yeah, so if you do have questions or challenges, go to truthrevolution.tv, and on the top right says Ask Questions.
Yeah, we welcome all sorts of questions.
You can pose a challenge. You can ask a question, whatever you want there. So
right, and you can even just make comments, and that's cool too. I mean, we enjoy comments as well.
And we do try, even if we don't do it on air, we try to respond to every single question via email at least.
All right. Well, this one comes in from a woman, and she says that her son is deeply, seriously questioning things that he was brought up believing, and. What he's been talking about creation is not logical enough for his scientific mind, which she thinks makes the entire Bible unbelievable to him. And that's kind of a scary place for a parent to be in, especially a Christian parent, And basically, she says he's a very deep thinker and everything must be logical and scientific. And she's concerned about giving him reading material that might not be, you know, the best logic, you know, faulty logic or scientific misinformation. Really kind of wanting to know what our direction would be for what kind of books would we suggest. So,
yeah, absolutely. We got a good list of books. And if you're interested in this list that I'm going to talk about a little bit, we're going to put this on the website.
Oh, right on.
So Dave, I need to email this to you.
That's
you're
a long
throw
list.
This is only part one. We've got two parts. I think we're only going to put part one. I don't know. We're going to put some of it on the website.
Okay, we'll get it all up there.
And you're going to be able to look at this recommended book list. I put these together quite a while ago, so we don't have any books on here from the last year or two.
Uh-huh.
But these are really, really good books nonetheless. I do recommend, I also got some sitting here in front of me. There's a book for this guy who is scientifically minded,
mm-hmm.
who wants to know the truth about creation. I really would recommend, there's a good book here called Intelligent Design by William Dembski. It's called The Bridge Between Science and Theology. And I really enjoyed this book when I went through it. This, a lot of people ask the question about evolution. Does evolution prove Christianity wrong? And
right.
like, how do we know we were actually designed?
Well, there's people out there that have hybrid beliefs, you know, between, evolution's okay.
Yeah.
You know, well, no, evolution's not okay. I mean, there's two different kinds of evolution, right? Macro and micro.
Yes.
And we believe in macro?
Yeah.
Evolution?
No,
we believe in micro.
Micro. Because it's clear, microevolution is small changes in species mm-hmm. over time. And I think that's quite obvious. Every species can experience change. Human beings are taller now than we used to be. If you put a whole bunch of red...
Not me.
If you put a... if you sorry, Dave.
That's
if you put a whole bunch of redheads on an island and they only reproduce with other redheads, who knows what their hair would look like 1,000 years from
right.
now. If you put all dark-skinned people with all other dark-skinned people on a continent and they only reproduce with other dark-skinned people, their skin would probably get darker and darker.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's microevolution.
Right, within a species.
Within a species. Mm-hmm. Macro is changing from one species to another.
Right.
I don't like to say that we don't believe in macroevolution.
Okay.
I like to say the evidence hasn't taken us there yet.
There has been no evidence... in science. I mean, they've tried to do it. I remember when I was in a school and they were talking about using the tsetse flies because their lifespan was so short mm. and they kept trying to make it, you know, do changes and stuff like that. And they've never, ever seen one species change to another in a lab. And so the only thing we got is people's guesses.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I wouldn't quite go as far as to say all we have is guesses. And I wouldn't go so far as to say that we have no evidence of macroevolution.
Okay.
We certainly do have some evidence. And it's the thing that's been reasoned out by scientists. But they've extrapolated upon the evidence and arrived at the conclusion of macroevolution.
So you think
evolution.
Maybe they're getting a little bit ahead of the cart there.
Right. I think they've taken the evidence, which is good, strong evidence, and they've made extrapolations mm-hmm. that aren't necessarily true.
Okay.
So that's what I would say.
All
you
right.
know, they,
that makes sense.
They say our DNA is similar to chimp DNA,
mm-hmm.
or they point out that you can kind of draw a tree. I'm going to really low vernacular here.
Family, so I can understand it. Thanks.
A family tree where you kind of see animals progressing into mankind,
mm-hmm.
and it makes sense chromosomally. It makes sense DNA wise. It makes sense genetically, and even just practically, you just look at it. But closeness does not imply common descent. It could
right.
imply common designer, and that's where you know we say
yeah, that makes sense too.
You know, I think they've extrapolated a little too far. So anyway, sorry, we've kind of gone off topic there. But so intelligent design is simply the scientific theory that this universe has been designed.
Right.
It's a really good book. It's kind of complicated. If you don't like science, don't read this book. If you like science, read it. It's good. We got another.
Most smart people do.
And that's by William Dembski. If you another book, and we've gone over this a couple times on the show.
The Privileged Planet.
The Privileged Planet is a great, great book. How is our place in the cosmos? How is it designed for discovery? And this is about not only is our universe and our planet designed perfectly for life, it's also designed perfectly for scientific discovery.
Mm-hmm.
If everything wasn't just the way it is, what a coincidence. We wouldn't be able to live or have scientific discovery.
Right. And you think about the way we've been able to look at the deep Hubble field.
Yeah.
You know, and see all these like what was it like 10 billion years light years away. If we were like, say we scooted a little bit more towards the arm in the galaxy, we wouldn't be able to see that.
A couple other books here by a guy named Hugh Ross, Why the Universe is the Way It Is, Beyond the Cosmos, and The Creator of the Cosmos. Hugh Ross is a great guy, great mind.
Had him on the show before.
We have. And he comes from an organization called Reasons to Believe. Mm-hmm. They work with biochemists, theologians, astronomers, astrobiologists, stuff like that. And they are really, really sharp thinkers. If you have an interest in science, or you know someone who's interested in science and they want to know how it lines up with the Bible, I would send them to, and I'm going to get hate mail for this, I would send them to Reasons to Believe. I would not send them to places like Answers in Genesis.
Right.
Answers in Genesis is it's a young earth.
Yeah, they're totally like write off science, basically. I mean, not totally, but you know.
Yeah, they don't totally write it off, but they don't, they take a very wooden, literal view of Genesis, where Reasons to Believe, as well as our show, we try to take the Bible for all its worth and understand how it fits together with some of the awesome scientific discoveries that are coming out.
Right.
And we don't simply say the scientists are wrong, period. We say, well, maybe they're right. Let's look at the Bible. And we don't necessarily say you have to reinterpret the Bible every time there's a new scientific discovery.
Right.
But what we say is, hey, are we sure about our interpretation of the Bible?
Right, and there's definitely common ground between the two.
The Bible does say that there's four corners in the earth. It says that in the Bible.
Square.
And people used to believe that earth had four corners because of that. When we found out the earth was round, they changed how they interpreted that part of the Bible.
Right.
So
the whole earth is square except for me, and I'm using that in the 50s vernacular. Totally square.
So anyway, man, the natives are restless today.
Yeah.
They're not happy with you. All right. So, I really would encourage you to check out some of those books. We're going to post that Regan list online for anybody who's interested in scientific discovery and apologetics. By the way, they're on our Regan list is more than just apologetics, more than just scientific stuff. There's also, other books like Chosen But Free by Norman Geisler. And that's about free will, Calvinism, Arminianism. There's a great book called The Book of Romance by Tommy Nelson about how to learn about relationships from the Song of Solomon in the Bible.
Right.
You know, there's The Pursuit of God by Tozer. Some of these are epic Christian books that every Christian should read.
Right. And you want to talk about an epic argument or an argument that'll throw you into circles, and that's the Arminianism, Calvinism argument.
We've done some truth shots on those. And do you want to know who's right about Calvinists or Wesleyans or Calvinists or Arminians? Do you want to know which one's right?
They both are.
I'm not going to tell you who's right.
Oh.
No, I'm not going to tell you, because when anyone asks me about that, I simply say Calvinists should respect Arminians, Arminians should respect Calvinists. The moment we start saying things like, well, they don't believe in a strong God, or well, they don't think that God... You know what? We've just crossed the line from healthy debate into name calling.
Honestly, I think when we get when we finally get to the pearly gates, God's going to say, none of you got it really totally 100% correct.
He's going to say, here's how it really is. We're all going to go, what did he just say? He's going to be like, look, here's how free will works. Here's how my sovereignty works. It fits together just like this. And we're going to go, oh man,
the mind is blown.
It makes sense now.
Right.
So anyway, yeah, check out our truth shots, truthrevolution.tv. Okay, now that we are almost done with the first half of the show, I want to get into the problem of evil a little bit. Why does God allow evil to happen? What's going on here? Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to get into that in the second half of the show. Truthrevolution.tv, you got to get over there.
Right, you check out past shows like we were talking about. You can see truth shots. You can even donate if you want to. I mean, help keep us on the air. We really appreciate everybody who's done that.
That's true. We need people like you to keep the show on the air. We love the emails. We love it when you tell the radio stations that you like the show.
Mm-hmm.
We love it when you question us, and we love it when you help support the show.
Right.
That's what we need from you guys. So hit us up, truthrevolution.tv, with suggestions for topics, questions, challenges, anything you want, Bible contradictions.
Yep.
We're going to do one of those on the other end of the show, too, as well as why does evil exist.
And don't forget Revolution Church.
Starts at 10:15 Sunday mornings. Come on out just as you are. Everybody's welcome. I'd love to see you there. TruthRevolution.tv.
You're- You're invited to Revolution Church this Sunday. Don't wear a suit and tie. Nobody else does. Just come as you are. Revolution Church has a special kids program planned, rocking music, and teaching that actually matters for real life. 10:15 this Sunday morning. Just music, teaching, and a program for the kids. 10:15 this Sunday morning. Check us out online, SalinaRevolution.com. www.SalinaRevolution.com.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com. That's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parent Association.com. K-F-A-P-A.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
Science cannot technically prove God exists.
Can't disprove him either.
But science can offer evidence.
And one of those lines of evidence is the incredible complexity and design that our universe has.
For example, just for life to exist, our planet has to have some extraordinary things going on.
There's a small habitable zone for the Earth. Scientists have taught that if the Earth was just 5% closer to the sun, we'd reach temperatures of 900 degrees Fahrenheit.
Wow, I would totally open a lemonade stand. Or be dead.
If the Earth were 20% further from the sun, carbon dioxide clouds would form, and we'd have the same type of environment Mars has, which could not have supported life as we know it.
Science gave us great info. The question is, do we think this is a huge coincidence that we just happen to be in the right place, or?
Or maybe someone just happened to design it that way.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same, to be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Truth Revolution.
Welcome back. We've been talking today about books.
I can't believe we just spent the first half of our show talking about books.
Books.
Instead of our topic.
But you know, I mean, it's important. People need to know this stuff.
This is what happens when people send in questions. We answer them.
Right. So remember that next time you want to send in a question.
I'm never checking my email again. Right. No, I'm just kidding. We do answer them, email or on the show. If we don't get to it on the show, we'll answer it by email.
Sometimes we do both.
Yes. So, send in your questions. TruthRevolution.tv. But we are talking a little bit about evil. We got another question coming if we get to it. We got Bible contradiction. But a little bit about evil. Why does God allow tornadoes and things to happen? We did the logical stuff last week. I'm not going to rehash all that. Why God allows tornadoes. Why God allows sickness. Why God allows us to make bad decisions. We talked about that all last week.
Yeah.
I'm not going to rehash it.
You know, it's crazy. I was, you know, that tornado that they had up by Bennington, and I was watching YouTube, and they've got videos up on YouTube about it. And some people got into an argument about theology on YouTube about a tornado. And, you know, somebody basically said, well, you'll be safe if you pray and you don't need to do anything else.
Oh, my gosh.
You know,
did they really say that?
They said that. I mean,
Here's what you do if they say don't pray. Ignore them and make them go away.
Right. Well, you know, I believe very much.
I mean, did
prayer.
I say don't pray? Yeah. I said if they say only pray, just ignore them.
Well, you know, the thing is that I believe in prayer 100%. But, you know, there's a preparation side. You don't want to be standing out there in front of the tornado like Charlton Heston or something like that, the Ten Commandments.
Well, I believe in prayer too, but I also believe that God allows natural consequences to happen sometimes. Yeah. I mean, he's not, a God, like this is what we discussed last week. I'm not going to rehash it. He doesn't let us live in a cartoon world where none of our decisions matter.
Right.
Our decisions matter. Our choices matter.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole thing I want to discuss today, we have this huge, huge doctrine in Christianity that says the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. The whole purpose of human existence is to glorify God and to enjoy God. Current happiness on earth is not the point of our existence.
Amen.
When I was in fourth grade, I got on top of my van. We were going to watch fireworks. And I was walking around on the top of the van, and my parents told me to sit down and hold still. I ignored them. And instead, I jumped off the back of the van, and I tripped as I jumped, and I fell down. I smashed my elbow, and my arm swung backwards. It was all disgusting. It was broken in multiple places. It just smashed up in there. I had no elbow, basically.
Right.
The doctors thought I might even lose my arm. I had to be in casts for months, multiple surgeries. I wasn't able to do anything, recess, gym, much less the sports that I loved.
Natural consequences.
Well, where was God in that?
Teaching you a lesson?
Was I given happiness through that moment? Look,
no,
Jesus allowed me to experience the consequences of my decision. Jesus allowed me to experience natural consequences of being in this world. It's not always our decision, but part of it is being in this world. And I'm sure some of you have experienced things where you wonder, where is God in this?
Right.
And I look back to the story of Lazarus in the Bible. In the story of Lazarus, you get Jesus. He gets this message. Hey, your friend Lazarus is sick. And Jesus has been healing people. He's been doing all kinds of miracles. And everybody knew Jesus could fix this problem. It wasn't a big thing. It was just, boom. Jesus was going to heal Lazarus and move on. Everybody's like, yay, Jesus, good job, and go on. But Jesus stays where he is at for two more days. He doesn't go anywhere. And Lazarus dies. And then later on, we find out Jesus does raise Lazarus from the dead.
Right.
But he allowed Lazarus to die first. Now, I have a question. Why didn't Jesus heal Lazarus? And the main answer is, God's plans aren't always our plans.
Right.
God may have something else in mind, but God is not missing in our suffering. God is not missing in our suffering. He's always present, and he's sometimes there to produce glory for himself. That is the goal of mankind, to produce glory for God. And that's what Jesus was doing by allowing Lazarus to die. Yeah. He was making a situation where he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead and thereby glorify himself. Jesus wasn't forgetting about Lazarus. He was waiting to do something even greater through the life of Lazarus. He was allowing Lazarus to experience God in a different way. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever.
Amen.
We also have to remember that God's purpose is not restricted to this life. This life, your 80, 90, 100, and 115 years, whatever it may be, on this earth, is not all there is.
Right, and we talked about that last week, too. I mean, it's... Whew.
I mean, Jesus goes and he raises Lazarus from the dead. Boom! Amazing! Awesome! Jesus is all-powerful! Jesus can do anything! In fact, Augustine says Jesus had to call out Lazarus by name. He walks to the tomb and he says, Lazarus, come forth. Augustine says Jesus had to call Lazarus by name because if he didn't, all the dead would have come out of their graves.
Yeah, that may be true, too.
So, of course, Jesus has power to raise Lazarus from the dead. Jesus has power to do anything he wants. Cannot the man who raised the dead with a call of his voice instantly fix any problem we have? Of course the answer is yes. But fixing our problems is not God's mission. God's mission is to help us achieve our purpose in life, which is to glorify him.
Right.
To enjoy God. To be ready for eternity, because eternity is vastly more important than this earth.
Right. And I think there's also a lot more to go with that, too. The fact that we put ourselves in a lot of situations that go wrong.
That's right.
You know? And so, you know, if we don't learn anything, then what point is there to it? And if God were to save us, we wouldn't learn anything.
Well, it's true, but I don't want to limit it to learning only on this earth. He's preparing us for a billion lifetimes of eternity.
Amen.
He wants us to learn to enjoy him, and sometimes suffering has to happen for that to occur. Now, we're going to get more to that later. We're going to do a Bible contradiction right now before we run out of time.
Bible contradiction.
All right, today was Bible Contradiction, brought to you by the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
Yay.
You sound real excited, Jeff. All right, they want to know, are we saved by faith alone or not?
Yes.
Well, Bible contradiction over.
There we go.
Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, and Romans 3, 20 and 28, and Galatians 2, 16, all say that a person is not justified by works, but by faith.
Right, faith alone. Person is justified by faith, apart from the works.
Now, compare that to James 2, 24, and Matthew 19, 16 through 21. That says James 2, 24 says you can see... you see that a person is considered righteous by what they do, not by faith alone.
All right, what we got going on here in our CRACT acronym, mm-hmm. which you can look it up on our truthrevolution.tv site. CRACT, the first C, the very first C is context. You got to get the context on this.
Okay.
Faith alone in Jesus saves us. But faith is never alone.
Okay.
Now, you think I've just contradicted myself, but I haven't.
You did.
I have not.
You're just like the Bible.
Okay. I'm going to say, whenever a baby is born, he is given a name.
Right.
Does being born mean he has a name?
No.
But he always gets a name after he's born. It's what you, like, you get one and the other. It's just, it's almost the same thing, but it's not the same thing.
Right.
This is faith and works. It's not a contradiction. It's just like, when you're born... you get a name. When you have faith, you produce works. So you, it's fair to say faith is not alone. Faith always has works. It's also fair to say that faith alone saves. Just like being born, coming out of your mother's womb is what gets you into this world. Well, that's true. But you also will receive a name. It's not a contradiction to say you have to have faith and works and also say that faith alone saves you. Faith in Jesus is what saves us. That's what gets us into heaven. But if you have faith, you will produce works. That's how it goes. And that's the answer for a Bible contradiction today. Yeah.
Bible contradiction.
All right. Wow. That was pretty easy.
Yeah, really, it kind of was. All right, but anyway.
I'll try harder, Jeff, I promise.
I want people, back to this thing about evil, all right? I want people to imagine someone in a lifeboat.
Okay.
Because a lot of people say, well, this is just so, it's so arrogant of God to say, your purpose in life is to glorify me. And I'm going to allow you to go through suffering to glorify me.
Well, if there's any being in the history of history itself that deserves to be arrogant, I think it's God.
Yeah, but we don't want to call it arrogance.
Right.
If someone's in a lifeboat and you are in the sea and you are drowning and they say, look at me, look at me. Would anyone in the right mind call that arrogance?
No.
No.
No, you're right. You're right.
Because your purpose right now is to reach out to the dude in the lifeboat. That is your purpose in life.
Dude, that just totally put so many puzzle pieces into place. That was awesome.
God is calling out, look to me, look to me. I am your God through all eternity.
Right.
That is our purpose in life, to look to God. And anything God allows us to go through that would make us reach out to him is more than justifiable.
Amen.
Because it will help save us, not just for 5 minutes, not 10 minutes, not a mere 120 years, but for billions upon billions of years into eternity.
That's a long time.
You know, people will talk about the pain that we're allowed to go through. And I want to make it clear, God doesn't allow just any kind of pain. There's bully pain and there's love pain. Bully pain is the kind of pain that isn't necessary. You just beat up on someone because you're mad at them. Love pain is when I was a kid, I had a friend named Brad. Brad always mistreated my toys and he wasn't very nice to me. My mother would instruct me on how to deal with him and make sure that he didn't break my toys. After a lot of instruction and me not changing, she decided one day she wouldn't interfere. Brad took my toy electric guitar, smashed it against our steps, it broke in half, wires hanging out. But you know what? After that, I stood up to him.
Right.
I became what I needed to become. My mom allowed me to experience that small amount of pain to change me as a human being.
Right.
God's doing the same thing, and you have to take eternity in perspective for what it is. All right. So, that's a small answer. About 10 minutes worth when we wanted to do half an hour. But,
we really need a longer show.
We do. We need 3 hours every day. We need four. Forget Rush Limbaugh. We need four hours. All right. So, all right. TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Come out to Revolution Church and go to TruthRevolution.tv for more information.
Right.
So you can donate. We need your support to make this show happen.
Right. Throw us questions, check out past shows, all that stuff.
Yeah, we're going to do more questions next week because we didn't get to one that I wanted to. So check us out, truthrevolution.tv, and be back next week.